Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Some people search for a start, they search for an end. They want a reason, a purpose, a place to stand. But there's a voice that's been calling since time began. A holy sound that fills up all the land. It is the eternal voice of Yeshua, the Messiah, the God of heaven, who became a man. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, don't you know? Oh yeah. He which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty One, the eternal King of all creation. Jesus the Christ said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and now I'm alive again forever and ever. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I hold the keys of hell and of death in my hands. Yes, Yeshua says, I see the eternal future, I see the eternal past. Every moment, every second, I know it all. But they crucified him and put him in a grave. They sealed up the stone, but he broke the chain of death, and he came out of the grave, out of hell itself, and showed himself to his New Testament church. And he calmed the raging sea of unbelief. Now he's got a victory for you and for me. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, don't you know? Oh yeah. He which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty One, in all the universe. Jesus the Christ.
Welcome to the Road of Correction program with your host, Ricardo Bezalel. And that song we just finished playing there is called I Am the Alpha and the Omega, and that's Jesus declaring that. And it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz who sang that one for us. Our discussion today centers on the aspect or the ceremony or the festival or the event of the Passover. The Passover, which happened with the Hebrew people when they were slaves in Egypt, and that final night when they were leaving the land of Egypt after God had intervened to rescue them, and they had become a nation in there, and this is the night they became a nation. And in Exodus chapter 12, God instituted the first Passover, and we know what happened there. Those who read the scriptures, that they were commanded to take a lamb for a house and kill it, and roast it on, with fire, but take the blood and put it on the doorpost, so that when the angel of death comes, he will pass over their houses and would not destroy them. So the Passover happened in Genesis, in Exodus chapter 12, and thus was then repeated year after year, year after year, for the nearly 1200 years that the children of Israel celebrated that Passover. And it then came to a point when Jesus himself was going to be the Passover lamb, as it says that in the book of 1 Corinthians 5, on verse 7, page out there for the old leaven, that ye may be a new lamb as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You see, so Christ, Jesus, is our Passover that was sacrificed for us, and that happened once, and it was a once-off, and that was the final Passover There are more, no more Passovers after Christ Jesus was, after Jesus Christ was sacrificed on that cross. Now, the need to sacrifice something came because God had prophesied it in Genesis chapter 3 on verse 14. And God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, which was to cause Adam and his wife to eat from the tree of death, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says to the devil, thou art cast above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat dust all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this is where the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah was being laid down. It's not the first one, because the first one is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 2, and verse 3, and so forth, when God said, let there be light. That light there was the coming of Jesus into the world, which was full of sin. And it so happened about 700 and something years before Jesus was born in that manger, that Isaiah stood up and started prophesying, and he said in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Notice the difference there. The child is born, but the son is given. And that tells us a lot about what the assignment of Jesus was going to be. And it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, and then from Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 there, you wonder, those people who say that Jesus is not God, which Bible are you reading? He says in Isaiah 9 6 there that that his name shall be called the Mighty God. It says there, well, you cannot change it because it's there in the Old Testament and it was already prophesied. But anyway, that's not our discussion today. The child born had, this child who is born, he had to be, to go through a transition to become the son, which was eventually given. So that son that was given, it got to also go through a certain processes in order to accomplish the procedure unto salvation and redemption for human beings, and accomplish that which the Lord had to, and for him to accomplish all that assignment, the Lord had to use various people in the journey of our Lord Jesus, from the time he was born in the manger to the time he was crucified on that cross. There had got to be a myriad of people who were like puppets on a string being used by God in order to accomplish the mission of his son. And there was a certain man called Judas Iscariot, who was one of those people so mightily used of God to accomplish the plan of salvation. I know some people don't believe that that Judas was used of God and he had an assignment to accomplish and so forth. But look, when we read from the book of Luke chapter 6 on verse 12, he says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. You see, Jesus held an all-night prayer unto God, and it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, who also he named apostles. The first one, according to Luke chapter 6 verse 14, the first one was Simon, whom he called, he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and another Judas called Judas Iscariot, which was also the one to become the traitor. So Judas was more than just a traitor. He was chosen after Jesus had spent an all-night prayer. My friend, all-night prayer, and then he comes and chooses Judas Iscariot for a reason. For a reason, and that reason is that Judas had a role to play. He had a role to play, and there came a time when Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me." And in chapter 12 of book of John, verse 25, and they were all asking, who is it, Lord? And then leaning back on Jesus, he said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered into Judas. Did you know that? Did you know that actually when Judas Iscariot carried out the assignment to betray the Lord Jesus, he wasn't himself. He was possessed of the devil. Just like that serpent, that snake in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't a snake talking to the woman. It was the devil who had possessed the snake. So the same is happening here. Judas is possessed of the devil in John chapter 13, there on verse 20, on verse 27, and yes, on verse 27 there, he says, and after the piece of bread or the sop of bread was given to Judas, Satan entered him, and Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So they thought that it was something to do with the buying of bread, but it was an assignment he was being given. But one of the disciples knew, none of the disciples knew for what reason Jesus said to him, do whatever you do it quickly. For some thought, because Judas said the money box that he said to him, that buy those things which are needed for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and the scripture says, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. So you see, the assignment of Jesus to be glorified needed the participation of Judas Iscariot. So before you condemn him as a traitor, before you condemn him as a useless man, you need to understand the assignment, and you need to understand what Jesus allowed Judas Iscariot to do before you condemn him. Today, the session we are going to discuss is actually in defense of Judas Iscariot, and we're going to call it Thank God for Judas Iscariot, because had he not done what he did, we would not have a savior today. So the two offices of the savior of Jesus, because he says in 1 John chapter 5 verse 1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. That Jesus is the Christ. You see, there is a difference between Jesus and the Christ. Faith is required to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, Jesus is indeed the Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you become a child of God. But you, with knowledge, obviously, because there is a dichotomy there between Jesus and the Christ. Jesus had to go through a process in which he becomes the Christ, and Judas Iscariot was needed for that process to be successful. So Jesus and Christ do not mean the same. Christ is not the surname of Jesus. Jesus is not the son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. No, it is one person, yes, but those two words in the name are very different, and they belong to different dimensions and different assignments and different offices even. So one cannot question the correct narrative which says that the word, when you say in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God, and the word was with God, that word, the word is not referring to the gospel. John was referring, not writing about the gospel, but he would have said the gospel was made flesh and dwelt among us, but he didn't say the gospel was made flesh and dwelt among us. He said the word was made flesh, not the gospel was made flesh. So the gospel is that which focuses on the suffering of Christ and the glory which should follow. But if Christ has never suffered, then there is no gospel. If Jesus has never suffered, then there is no gospel. If there was the gospel before Jesus suffered on the cross, then what was the gospel we were talking about? And what were the prophecies of the Old Testament talking about? If the gospel was there before he suffered, then what was there? Was there any need for Jesus to be on the cross? No. Jesus died on the cross to obtain salvation for us. And this is where the gospel starts to come in. Before Jesus died on the cross, there was no gospel. The gospel is the byproduct of his suffering and his resurrection from the dead. Without the suffering of Christ, there is no gospel. That phase, actually, the phase of suffering was the gospel when he became flesh, when he came in the flesh and was crucified, died and buried and rose again after 3 days and three nights. Jesus manufactured the gospel through his life and his suffering and the processes he went through. He was to be preached for sinners to come out of sin into repentance. And in heaven, there is no need for the gospel because in heaven, it is a sinless place. There is no sin in heaven. So in the beginning was the word, it does not say in the beginning was the preaching or was the gospel of Christ. No. If you replace the word with the gospel, then you are denying the office of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. For where I am, there you may be also." You see. So, verse 15, there says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come unto you." So all these things would not have happened had Jesus remained the Christ. So you can see that there is a change in the dispensation, where he then says that he's actually alluding to the fact that he was going to leave his body, he was going to die, and then he was going to rise again, and then after rising and going to heaven, he will then be in the presence of the Father, where he says, "I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper," meaning the Holy Spirit, which is also another dimension of Jesus Christ himself. So let's remember where it all began, as we read before, that it started in Exodus chapter 12, where God told the children of Israel that on the 10th month of every on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if a household be too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. He shall take account for the lamb. So your lamb shall be without blemish, a male lamb of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You see, you may take it. So it was somebody had to go out there in the bushes where the sheep and the goats lived and collect that either from the paddock, from wherever, from the manger, wherever this from the enclosure or from the grazing pastures, wherever these lambs were stored, somebody had to go there and take it. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and thou shalt take some of the blood and put it on the two posts of the on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where thy it eat. So you see, the lamb required somebody to go out there, fetch it, and bring it into the house. So this is what the role of Judas Iscariot was. He had to go out there and lead the high priest to where Jesus Christ, to where Jesus, the Lamb of Sacrifice, was located. We see again in Deuteronomy 17:1, he says, "You shall not sacrifice unto the Lord your God an ox or a sheep which is a blemish or defect, for that is a detestable thing to the Lord your God." So Jesus had to be without sin. He had to be sinless. He was tempted in every way, but he was found without sin. He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. Now, when the time came to crucify him on that Passover, he was ready for that one. So we need to remember that there is a transition from Jesus, the body which needed to be crucified on the cross, which John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That sin of that body, which is the man Jesus, is the one which Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 was talking about, that though he was in the form of God, yet he was found in fashion as a man. And now this man was the one which was needed to be sacrificed, and Judas was the one to identify him so that the procedure unto salvation can be complete. So we know there is Jesus, the body which had to be sacrificed, and then there is the Christ, who is the resurrected Savior, who becomes the high priest. And so our Lord had two births, but the first birth does not give us Jesus Christ. The first birth only gave us Jesus, the human body, but the second birth, which is the resurrection from the dead, is the one which gives us the second birth. And that is how Christ was born. A birth requires coming out of a belly, just like Jonah came out of the belly of the great fish. So too, our Lord came out of the heart, or the belly of the earth. The earth was not his mother, but the Old Testament was his mother, because remember, Jesus was born in the Old Testament, and everything he did was in the Old Testament. And so whatever was going on, everything he did before the crucifixion, all that was the Old Testament period. And the process of becoming, of Jesus becoming the Christ, required him to be taken from the field, from the garden, and to be presented to the high priest. And that is what Judas Iscariot's job was. Had Judas not gone into that garden of Gethsemane to identify Jesus and bring him into the hands of the high priest, where were they going to get the lamb, a blameless lamb, to sacrifice before God on that Passover day? That was going to be impossible. And because it happened in that way, Jesus successfully did what he needed to do. Revelation chapter 5 on verse 9, it says that, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." You see, thou wast slain. Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast thou made us unto God kings and priests, and shall reign on the earth. You can see that verse 9 says, "You are worthy." But why was he worthy? Because you were killed, and by your death we have been redeemed and purchased. You have purchased us to God by your blood. So this man Jesus, which Israel had for 33 years, was a sin offering and a sacrifice. He needed to be slain. He had come for that job. And people should not forget that a sin offering is not the one that gives salvation. A sin offering is the one that acquires salvation because of the shedding of its blood. That one that gives salvation is the high priest. A sin offering has got no capacity to save. It is the high priest who saves, because it is he who takes the blood of the sacrifice and stands with that blood before God, before the throne of God in the Holy of Holies, and that is his job. So therefore, when Israel had Jesus, our Lord, in the flesh, when God saw him, he was like he had planted a lamb of sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world amongst the children of the Hebrew people. But what it did not have was the one who receives that lamb and slaughters it and takes that blood to stand before God with that lamb. This is the duty of the high priest here, to receive that lamb from someone. But the high priest does not go into the field to search the young lamb, the one-year-old lamb, the blameless lamb from the other flock or from the other head of sheep. It is a special someone who is chosen from amongst the people, who knows the date of death of these lambs, because it had to be 1 year old. So if you send anybody, they might bring a lamb which is 5 years old, 2 years old, 6 months old. But no, it had to be a special lamb which was 1 year old, a male lamb, 1 year old. So it needed somebody who kept birth records of this lamb, who knew which lamb was which lamb. And this is what Judas Iscariot was qualified to do. He could tell Jesus from Apostle Peter, from the disciple John. He could tell who Jesus was from Nathaniel, from Bartholomew. He knew which Jesus, which body belonged to Jesus, because he was qualified to do that job. And this is the role, what Judas was playing. So he was far above being a traitor. He was not a traitor. So the teaching today means that do not hate Judas Iscariot. Do not despise him, because he played a very important role. But as we said, the high priest does not go into the field to search the young lamb from the other flock. It had to be the duty of a family representative who had to go out into the grasslands or the enclosure to take the lamb from there and present the little lamb, the one-year-old lamb, to the high priest. That job was given to none other than Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot played a very, very important role in making sure that the lamb of sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world was surrendered, was given, was handed over to the high priest for the slaughter. And that happened when Judas came into the Garden of Gethsemane. So thank God for Judas Iscariot, because we know from John chapter 13 on verse 27 that after the supper, when Jesus gave Judas the piece of bread, the devil entered him, and Jesus said, whatever you do, do quickly. You see, so there is no way Judas would have avoided that which was supposed for him to be done. So the fall of humanity happened in the Garden of Eden. The process of reversing that fall also had to happen in another garden, and this time it was the Garden of Gethsemane. The devil had always kept people hostage, taking everyone to hell, right from Adam all the way until this day in the Garden of Gethsemane. All that time, the devil was taking humanity to hell, and he had always done that, because the devil knew that the blood of animals, which the Levitical priesthood and the law of Moses were offering, was not an equal exchange rate. It was not like for like, and not the same value. So as the blood of Adam and his wife. So the devil knew that there was no real redemption, that there was no real forgiveness, and no real going to heaven, and for anyone offering according to the law of the Old Testament. And the devil required that he captures another human being in exchange for Adam, the first human being, and the whole human race, obviously. So this is why Jesus came with a human body, so that he could fully be a human being. According to Philippians 2, 5, he was found in fashion as a man. He could be fully human, but not belonging to the bloodline of Adam. In that manner, he was presented to the devil in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was presented there, he replaced and took the place of Adam and his wife, and the place of all humanity, which the devil had kept bound for hell. So that was where the hostage exchange situation happened. Jesus, who is the Word of God, which is God himself, who had taken the fashion of a human body, he is now arrested and taken over by the devil, who was inside Judas Iscariot. And the devil now has got a captive, And now, because he's got a captive who is now a representation of the whole human race, he has got no need now to keep hold of all the people of the Old Testament and of all humanity, which he had kept hostage for all this long, because the price has been paid, and the devil now has got his own hostage, and he can do whatever he wanted with him. And this was the role which Jesus did, and this was the role which Judas Iscariot did in identifying this hostage exchange program and to identify the lamb of sacrifice which takes away the sin of the world. And we're going to go to another song. Again, it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us, "What Is It to Believe?" Because if you don't believe that Jesus knew and understood and had a plan for everything that was going to happen to him before he came to this earth, then you don't have faith in him.
Grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
What does all this mean? The gift of grace is the ability to believe by faith in the finished work of Christ in your heart.
What is it that person is supposed to believe by faith?
A person has to believe that Jesus died on the cross at Golgotha, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to
scripture. A person must believe that Jesus died on the cross to put away sin and to put an end to the Old Testament laws and to bring about the beginning of the New Testament.
A person has to believe that Jesus died
that a person is supposed to believe.
Believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and his ascension into heaven
also resurrects your human spirit from the spiritual death which the first human being, Adam, gave to all humanity. This is what it means to be born again. It is your human spirit which receives this new spiritual birth. This spiritual rebirth by the power of the Holy Spirit is the only quality which qualifies your human spirit to become a child of God.
Having become a child of God means Jesus Christ becomes your spiritual father.
In our continued discussion, we are saying thank God for Judas Iscariot, because he was far higher than just being a very evil traitor. And even now, even in movies and in art and in things like that, and in ordinary conversations, you hear people say, oh, he's a real Judas, that one, a betrayer, and they treat him like a common criminal. Judas had a special assignment, and that assignment he accomplished it very well. And because of him, the salvation process which the Lord came to do was successful, because Judas fulfilled his assignment. Now, even though you can't get him, the question is, in your own life, what assignment have you got? It's probably just the assignment for you to know the Son of God, the one who rose again from the dead. And you're not even making an effort to know who he is, what he did, and what he did for you, and what it means, and how to live in that salvation process, so that at the end of your life you can enter into heaven. you are even neglecting that primary and very easy process like that. Yet Judas, though we may castigate him, he was faithful to his assignment and he carried it out very well. So we say thank God for Judas Iscariot, because had he not done what he did, the high priest was no way going to find out who Jesus was. They would have ended up crucifying somebody else instead of Jesus the Savior, and that wouldn't have worked because everybody else did not have pure blood. But Jesus Christ, Jesus, this is the Word of God which became a human being, was the only one who did not have any blame, any sin in him, because his bloodline was separate from that of Adam. He was born from outside of this earth, which means that he didn't share the curse, which happened in the book of Genesis chapter 3 when God said, "Cursed the ground because of you." And we know the ground means dust, and dust is what God made the human body from. The human body is made from dust. So Jesus had to come free from the bloodline of Adam so that he can become a sinless, blameless, perfect high priest. I mean, not a perfect sacrifice, lamb of sacrifice, which takes away the sin of the world. And that is exactly what he did. And Judas Iscariot fulfilled that role by identifying him and handing him over to the high priest to be crucified as our Passover lamb. So we celebrate what Judas Iscariot did. And in the book of Romans chapter 2, not Romans, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," meaning Jesus, "likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that is the power of death, that is the devil." So you see, the reason why John chapter 1 verse 14 exists, that the Word of God, which is God himself, became a human being, according to Philippians 2 verse 5 to 8, why he became a human being is that he wanted to take of a human body so that through death he could partake of the same, which is death, which is the death which Adam brought into the garden, right? So that through death he might destroy him that is the power of death, that is the devil. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on verse 22, it says, for as in Adam in the Garden of Eden all die, you all humanity gets death from Adam in the Garden of Eden, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And because he rose again from the dead, everybody who believes in him is made alive and is not going to be taken to hell by the devil. There are those out there who teach that everybody is going to hell and some are going to have a bridge where they pass over and then will say all this and all that, and that their God is going to come and cherry pick some of them and leave the rest of them in hell and so forth. Well, that is their narrative. We leave them to it. If they are content with that, so let them be. Keep to your track, my friend. Continue in your way. But as far as the true scriptures of God are concerned, it says, as in Adam all die, which means as in Adam all go to hell, even so in Christ all shall not go to hell. All shall not go to hell. All shall be alive with God in heaven. So we celebrate that aspect of salvation. And in Romans chapter 5 on verse 12, the scripture says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed to all men, for all have sinned." You see, this is what Adam did, and this is why some people still believe that everybody is going to hell, because they believe that Adam's sin is still in existence today. Why do they believe that? Because they deny that Jesus died for them. They refuse to accept that Jesus, the God of heaven, became a human being. They refuse to accept that Jesus was crucified on the cross and rose again after 3 days and three nights. They don't believe it. And because they don't believe it, they continue to be what Romans chapter 5, 12 says, that sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death passed to all men, for all have sinned. So therefore, they remain dead in their sin, and they tell everybody that everybody is going to hell. Well, that is not true, my friend. Not everybody is going to hell. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 5 says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no sin," which means the devil existed before the world was created. This is why the sin was in the world. But he waited for a law to be given so that that sin, his nature, could manifest. And then when God said, "You shall not eat of the tree of life," the devil came and took opportunity and caused the sin to come into the world. Verse 15 of Romans chapter 5 says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, death abounded to many, to all who believe, so that we don't have to be taken to hell by the devil. So when Judas was called by Jesus in the garden, when he approached him and said, "Master," and he said, "Friend," Jesus said to him, friend, when Jesus referred to Judas as a friend, he was referring to the job description which Judas Iscariot was performing, in that he was both the one taking the lamb of sacrifice from the field to be handed over to the high priest to be sacrificed for the final Passover, and also that Jesus needed that process to be fulfilled. Jesus knew that Judas' body was actually carrying the devil on the inside of him, because remember in John chapter 13 on verse 27, the devil had entered into Judas. So in this one, when Jesus was being arrested by these soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas was standing face to face with Jesus, it was the devil standing face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the hostage exchange program was beginning. So the Judas Iscariot was performing the role of taking the lamb of sacrifice to the high priest, and he was also possessed of the devil, and as a replay of Genesis chapter 3, where the woman was deceived by the serpent, which was the devil, to eat from the tree of death. This time it was Judas who was leading the Old Testament, which was what he was representing, and all the disciples were in the Old Testament, and the high priest was in the Old Testament, the soldiers were in the Old Testament, and Judas Iscariot himself was in the Old Testament, and he was leading now the Old Testament to eat from the tree of life, which is Jesus, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil had led Adam and his wife to eat from the tree of death, which brought death and condemnation to all humanity. Now, Judas, possessed of the devil, is now leading people to eat of the tree of life, albeit that they were in ignorance, they didn't know what they were doing, because had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of Glory. So Judas is now leading them to eat the tree of life, which is Jesus, with the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, and Judas therefore played a vital role in the reversal of the death that came in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. So Judas Iscariot was second from last as the person to enter Abraham's bosom. The last person to enter into Abraham's bosom was that thief who was on the cross with Jesus, and he had a good testimony of Jesus about the mission and the identity of Jesus, and Jesus responded by saying to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise," which was Abraham's bosom at that time. And we know that Judas Iscariot had already repented and killed himself, but because he was in the Old Testament, he had fulfilled his role, and he'd gone into Abraham's bosom. So when the Lord died, he died as a sin offering. But then who was to take his blood into the heavenly holy of holies? It was the Christ himself who was to take the blood, but he could only do it if in another form. Jesus could not enter into the Hall of Holies because he was a human body, but as the resurrected Savior in his office as the high priest, he could do that in because he was now in another dimension. He was able to take a different form, in that he was going to be the high priest. The form in which he was crucified is not the form in which he stands before God. The one crucified was the Lamb of Sacrifice, but he is another side to him, in which he operates as the high priest, and that is the office in which he was to stand before God. So in his days as Jesus, he was the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. But as Jesus the Christ, he is now the testator and the high priest of the New Testament, and that only happens once he's sacrificed, and the sacrifice happens when he's handed over, and he's handed over when Judas Iscariot has done his job. In John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18, it tells us that Jesus, after creating the world, wanted to save mankind from sin. So he devised a means. He said, I needed to become flesh and dwell among my brethren so that I can be a wholesome sacrifice. So the Word, at the beginning, the Word was God. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. So he needed to become flesh, because he couldn't save in his capacity as the Word of God. So in John 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this word all things means just that, all things, from geology to biology, chemistry, mathematics, accounting, you name it, artificial intelligence, machine learning, you name it, whatever it is, all things were made by him. But among these all things, God also created a weakness in man, which he knew was going to precipitate into the dawn of a sinful world. He realized that he would need to save mankind, and to do so, he needed a human body in order to be able to function on the earth. Therefore, to say that Jesus Christ is the one who created the world, you are saying that he already had a body in that time of the creation of the universe, which is not true, because the spirit is the one which gave rise to the physical. This would give rise to the question of saying, why would Jesus need a body in the absence of a world? He would not need a body. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If there was God in eternity before creation, outside the bubble of time, if there was God who is a spirit, then there could never have been any flesh that in that realm, in that spiritual realm. So we can conclude that Jesus was not did not have a body in that spiritual dimension. John chapter 1 verse 10, he says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But then verse 14 says, and the word became flesh, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and reality, full of grace and truth. So the coming of the Word into the world is that which necessitated him to become flesh, the Lamb, which is the Lamb of sacrifice. So once he had laid down his life, he was sacrificed. And during the time he was dead on the earth, he went to hell as a substitute for you and for me, so that we don't have to go there for ourselves. Which means those people who say everybody goes to hell are not part of this, because Jesus went to hell for us. He went to hell for you if you are a believer. He went to hell for all humanity, for all those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So he went to hell for all humanity. And if you are one of those who should believe, then you should believe that his resurrection from the dead was his rebirth. So Jesus was indeed, yes, born again from the dead and became Jesus Christ the Savior. But that process required him to be, first of all, the Lamb of sacrifice, which had to be handed over to the high priest, which Judas Iscariot accomplished. And we can see now in Ephesians 4:4, he says, there is one body and one spirit, even you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in into him in all things, which is the head, which is even Christ Jesus. So we can see that he has taken us to a level where after he is risen from the dead and after he has defeated the devil in hell and has come back again to life, he is now giving victorious life to those who live in him. So there is no more Passover to be celebrated, my friend, because the final Passover happened more than 2,000 years ago. The meaning of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead is such that John 1 verse 14, the word became flesh so that he could become a human being who goes to hell for humanity and raises again from the dead after defeating the devil, which is what we see in Revelation chapter 1 verse 17 when he says that when I saw him, this is John the Apostle describing Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Wow. So this Jesus now has got the keys of hell and of death. So you can see clearly that had Jesus remained Jesus and had not been handed over to the high priest, this thing here that he says, I was alive, but I was dead. Yeah, I'm he that liveth, but was dead. How did he die? He died because he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. How was he arrested? He was arrested because Judas, possessed of the devil, took over, arrested Jesus and deprived him of his freedom. And from that evening, which was a Thursday night, from that evening, Jesus lost his freedom. He had entered into the heart of the earth. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the belly, not in the belly, in the heart of the earth. And the heart of the earth is the operations of the devil. And when Judas came to arrest Jesus and betray him to the high priest, the devil was inside Judas. And when Jesus was arrested, it was as good as the devil himself had captured the Son of God, had captured the Word of God, had captured God himself. It was as good as that, my friend. So from that night, he lost his freedom. He was now in the heart of the earth. So when you count from the heart of, when he entered into the heart of the earth, that happened on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, three nights, Friday day, Saturday day, Sunday day, 3 days. There you go. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And this is what Jesus accomplished for us, all because Judas came possessed of the devil and he took him over and he successfully handed him over. So we can say that, as it says in Corinthians 15:44, it says, "It a human body, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. For it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam a quickening spirit. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And it says here in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He is talking about that your spirit man is now ruling over your body. Your spirit man is now ruling over the desires of your flesh. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is what he is talking about here. So he says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him, Jesus, from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and in uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, has he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses and sin, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it on out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of it there. He says, Yes, we are reading from Colossians chapter 2, which is what I've been quoting here. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in who? In Jesus Christ. Now, after he's risen again from the dead, and we are complete in him. He is the body of, we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And we are saying that, verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us. If we read from verse 13, and it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, having that which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So this is the ending of the law of Moses. The handwriting of ordinances refers to the ending of the law of Moses on the cross. It was nailed to the cross, and it was all because Judas Iscariot successfully identified the blameless lamb of sacrifice, which takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus was offered as the Passover lamb. And as the Passover lamb, he enabled us, those who are going to partake of his blood, to be freed from death. So when the angel of death comes over the nation of Egypt, it will not kill anyone on whose doorpost was the sprinkling of the blood. And now Jesus, our Passover lamb, who has been sacrificed because Judas betrayed him, he fulfilled his office. And now he has stopped the angel of death, which is the death which kills from the Old Testament, coming over those who are New Testament believers. So he is now blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is what the law of Moses, the Levitical priesthood, and the temple order. It was all done away with, no more to be followed again, except to take out of it the processes, the prophecies about the coming of the Savior. That's all we take from the Old Testament. We no longer follow it literally. We take from it the meaning of what was being said. And the meaning of it was all talking about Jesus Christ. It was all talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What is this verse 15 of Colossians chapter 2 talking about? It's talking about Jesus having gone to hell. And having gone to hell, he says, I've got the keys of hell and of death. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. How did he obtain those keys? The process of obtaining the keys of hell and death from the devil happened in, it's described for us in Colossians chapter 2 on verse 15. This is where he has actually given us the victory. So he says in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat and drink and respect of an holiday or of a new moon and of the Sabbath days. You see, they keep this Ishtar holiday. They follow the moon cycles, and they keep the Ishtar holiday, and it is a pagan holiday actually, because Jesus died on a particular day, not a shifting day. No. So generally speaking, scholars agree that the majority of scholars agree that Jesus was crucified on the 3rd of April in the year 33 AD, and this some obviously say maybe it was the 7th, but the majority of scholars in their research, they come up with the 3rd of April 33 AD. So if this Easter holiday was really to celebrate the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, then it should be kept the same every year, not shifting and changing like they do. But because they shift and change, they are obviously celebrating the festival of Easter, the Babylonian god. So if you're a true believer, you keep away from such things. So verse 15 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, made a spectacle of them, a public show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In it what? In it, in hell. He defeated the devil and took away the keys of hell and of death. So let not men judge in food and drink and holiday and a new moon and a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ, and Christ is our God. He is the resurrected Savior. It is him in whom we live and move and have our being. And because he has been victorious over death, we are also victorious. We are victorious. How? We are victorious because he has resurrected our human bodies from our human spirits. He has resurrected our human spirits from the death of Adam. And because we've been resurrected spiritually from the death of Adam, we can no longer see spiritual death anymore, but we'll enter into the paradise of God. And it is my invitation to you, my friend, that stop plodding on in darkness. Jesus has resurrected from the dead so that he can resurrect your human spirit so that you don't have to die the second death. Resurrect, my friend, from the death of Adam. And Jesus wants to give you that life. The choice is yours. What are you going to do with it? We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on rodofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
For the African spirit, stay locked on to Radio Africana.